Hallelujah. Amen. God is in this place tonight. And I believe if we allow Him to work, He'll work in this place tonight. Amen. Bear with me. I am still in prayerful mode here. Pastor called me about 3:30 and said that he was very sick, that he had all intentions of being here, but he got home from service this morning. He said when he got up this morning to come, he felt a little funny, but he just prayed through it and preached through it. But when he got home, it just seemed to get worse. And so he laid down for a few moments, and when he got up, he still just felt that he would not be able to speak tonight. So he called me and asked me if I would minister tonight. So I want to give him honor and thank him for the opportunity. Although I'm not thankful of the circumstances, I am thankful for a pastor that trusts in us to take care of things when he is out or not well. So I give honor to these great men of God up here on the platform. I thank them for their burden and all they do for our church and the way they step in and do great things. I know either one of them would have had something very great tonight, and I'm just humbled to stand before you tonight. So as you get your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Luke tonight. We'll go to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Praise God. Amen. And then we'll go to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. Amen. Book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. I know some of you are probably there already and looking at it and thinking, well, unless I slept a long time this afternoon, it's not Christmas. But I just want to bring to you what I felt on my heart today. Amen. I believe the Bible should be important no matter what holiday it is. I believe we should proclaim the birth of Christ just as much as the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. It's all important. Well, I got about 5%. Hallelujah. Amen. Book of Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. They're having church right there in the middle of the field. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now, I want you to focus on that scripture where they said, Let us go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went out and told people what they saw. They went out and shared their experience. Amen. The book of Matthew chapter 2 is the same account of this story, but here Matthew is writing on the account of the wise men. Matthew 2 verses 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, when they saw it in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, now here's their account. They saw the young child with Mary his mother. So they saw the same thing as the shepherds. They saw. And when they saw the young child with Mary his mother, they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their country another way. Tonight I just want to talk to you on this subject for just a few moments. A tourist or a local? A tourist or a local? Please place your Bibles beside you and let's just go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Would you do that with me? Would you just begin to lift up the name of Jesus here tonight? Would you lift your hands? Would you lift your voices? Would you activate your faith tonight and allow the Holy Ghost to begin to move in this sanctuary tonight? Come on, could we call upon the name of the Lord? Could we ask Jesus to come into this building and speak to us? Speak to our minds, our hearts. Anoint us to hear your word, O Holy God, as we come before you with our hands lifted, our voices lifted, God, coming to worship you tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we give God some worship tonight? Come on, can we give God praise tonight? Can somebody make a joyful noise unto the Lord before you're seated tonight? Come on, can somebody go ahead and just proclaim that Jesus is Lord of your life and that He rules and reigns over you and that you're here tonight to give Him glory, that you're here tonight to give Him praise. Hallelujah, I've only come tonight with one purpose, and that's to get along with God and allow God to do whatever He intended to do to me in this service. A tourist or a local? Amen. High five somebody and ask them, are you from around here? Amen. God bless you. And man, everybody's already seated. Hallelujah. Got this thing on recline tonight. Today I want to ask you just one simple question. Are you a tourist or are you a local? Do you belong to this neighborhood, or are you just visiting? Are you a part of the crowd here, or are you just sightseeing? As summertime is here, and vacations begin to start, and people begin to travel, we all at one point or another have been a tourist. Some of us here in this room have maybe been to the Grand Canyon. Some maybe have been to Alaska, some to Washington, D.C., some to New York, some here maybe have even been overseas, maybe to France or Rome, or possibly you've traveled south into Mexico or into Belize, or maybe you've gone even farther than that. But as you go to these certain places, once you walk into there, you are now known as a tourist. Tourist simply means a person who is traveling or visiting a place for pleasure, for sightseeing, a person who is there to check out the show. Also, while on vacation or while you're out traveling, you will hear people speak of locals. Or perhaps you might even have asked yourself in a certain town, where do the locals eat? Where do the locals hang out? Where do the locals get the best sights? I remember being in Tennessee and hearing folks asking people that work behind the counter at the places we may have been eating and such, and asking them, where's the best parks to visit? Where's the best places to park and see? Where do the locals like to go? Local simply means belonging or relating to a particular area or neighborhood. Today, we have a choice to make as to how we're going to handle Jesus and church in our lives. We can leave this place today one of two different ways. We can go home a local, or we can go home a tourist. We can come to see the show, snap a few pics, maybe even take part in a skit or two, but we leave the same way we came. Or we can come and we can take part and we can lift our hands and we can relate to the atmosphere, and we can already walk in here knowing that God Almighty is in this sanctuary. Now, I knew it was going to be quiet tonight, but I believe the Lord allowed this service to go this way, because tonight we're going to see, are we a tourist or are we a local? Some of us are here to see the show and talk about the sights we saw and talk about the things that once happened. But I didn't come to reminisce. I come to see God do something miraculous tonight. This ain't no show to me. This should be norm. God should live with me every day of my life. Woo! Well, I knew it was going to be tight tonight. I'm struggling with this button. I'm fixing to break it off. I knew it was going to be tight tonight. But I just can't help but feel this way today. What's happening to us? Now hear me. I'm not knocking, and I don't want to offend anybody right off the bat. I'm not here to offend. I'm not knocking the things that happened in the past. I'm thankful for them. They give me hope that God can do those things in my future. But I don't come to church just to reminisce about the past. I'm rejoicing over that fellow who got raised out of a wheelchair last week. But baby, that was last week. What's God going to do tonight? Come on, what God has in store for you and I in this service tonight. I don't want to be just a tourist. I don't want to just move on to the next. I want to see God move tonight. We can come to see the show, or we can come and give something of ourselves to Him and leave a completely different way and be able to be identified with Him, and people know that we are His. I went back home recently and I was talking to a friend there, and they said, uh-oh. I said, what's the matter? They said, no. You've been in Mississippi too long. I said, why is that? He said, man, you lost your Cajun accent. Man, you're starting to sound like you from the country over there. He said, you're losing it, man. You got to move back. I said, well, you keep praying for that, okay? Because it ain't happening. But anyway. You see, as a local, people know you're a local. You speak the language of that town. You know the area of that town. You demonstrate the culture and the region that you're in. People know the difference between a local and a tourist. I know it's a little dragging tonight, but it's going to go somewhere here in a minute. People know the difference between a local and a tourist, because a local just goes on about their everyday life and they continue doing the things that are all around, as tourists stop and drive real slow down the parkway in the Smoky Mountains. And they just taking it easy. But a local, What are we doing tonight? Do people know that we belong to Jesus? Do people know that Mount Pisgah is the community that I belong to? Do people know that I attend the Church of Jesus Christ? Do people know that I have His blood and His name applied to my life? Do people know that I relate to, that I belong to, that I am a part of an apostolic community of believers, and that around these parts I'm a local? The Bible in our text in Luke talks about shepherds. And it said they came and saw what the angel proclaimed to them. And they left and headed back home to tell people what they saw. Tourists. Well, you can tell somebody that just got off vacation. Well, they got 9,000 photos and all these Facebook posts and pictures, and they calling you on the phone and they're texting you and telling you about a great time they had and things that they did and places that they went. But yet a tourist always returns home the same way. Just bear with me. A tourist goes back to the same home, in the same car, to the same job, to the same situations, to the same surroundings, in the same region. It's the same. Nothing's different. There's no change. There's no leaving differently than when I came. And these shepherds came, and I'm not knocking this story by no means, but these shepherds were merely tourists. They came, the Bible said they saw, and they just went back and told everybody. But on the same token, the second part of that story I read to you was three wise men who came and saw, but there was a few things that happened a little differently. The wise men did things a little bit differently. They came and saw, but my Bible says they took it a step further and they worshiped Him. They said, man, this is what we've been waiting on. This is what we've been looking for. This ain't just some show. This is something we've been praying about and we've been studying about and we've been waiting on. We can't help but worship Him. I wonder when God looks at our worship, what is He thinking? Like I said, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but what does God think of us? Does God look at us and say, that's somebody that's waiting on me? That's somebody that wants to spend time with me? That's somebody that's pushing through world and pushing through hell and pushing through life because they desperately want to be with me? They came and they worshiped Him. And not only did they worship Him, the Bible says they gave some things to Him. They gave of themselves. Well, praise God. They gave of themselves. They gave something dear and precious. Costly ointments, the Bible says, they laid at His feet and they gave to Him. Not only did they come and begin to worship, but they come and they gave something of themselves in that particular moment. Mount Pisgah, if you want a visitation from the Holy Ghost, you've got to worship, but not only worship, you've got to give something of yourself. You've got to break yourself. You've got to open up yourself. You've got to allow yourself to be poured out so the Holy Ghost can move. Can you lift your hands and love the Lord tonight? And because of that, the Bible says they left a different way. They didn't go home the same way. They didn't go home to the same things. They didn't go home battling the same struggles. It's because they purposed in their heart, we're not here just to take a peek and see what's happening and then just go back home and return to my mundane life. They said, I've got a purpose. I'm supposed to be here to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I know if I get in His presence, everything changes. Everything changes. But that's the problem. We don't want it to change. Some of us like our mundane lives. Some of us like the struggles. Evidently we do, because we have opportunity after opportunity to worship and to give ourselves to Him. And the Bible says they left differently. Church, you can leave differently from this service tonight if you would just give something of yourself. Give a little praise. Give a little shout. Give a little dance. Give a little praise. Come on, church. How much is He worth to you tonight? You, but I've got to go out of 2015 different than the way I came into it. Come on, Brother Grimes, I need something. I'm just being honest. I need something to break. I need God to move. I need things to change. So I'm going to take this service and I'm going to offer myself and I'm going to give my costly ointments and I'm going to let God know that I want to leave here different. I gotta have a change. I gotta be changed. I gotta be healed. I've gotta be delivered. I'm just gonna be honest with you. I get a little envious of you elders sometimes when you talk about all the things you saw and all the things that God did in the Brush Harbors and the revivals and the days of center match pews and sawdust floors. And then something hits me and says, greater things ye shall do in my name. If 8 to 12-year-olds can lay hands on a man in a wheelchair and the man get up and walk across the auditorium, more does God want to do in my ministry and want to do in my local church? Come on, I don't want to be a tourist here. I want to be a local. Amen. I want people to come to me and say, where do the locals go? Where do they worship? What God do you serve? Because I want to meet Him. We can't afford to leave the same way we've come. Some of us are still battling things we fought and prayed for at the beginning of 2015. And we've yet to still overcome those things. Could it possibly be because we have slipped in to a tourist mentality? I don't ever go to Branson with the intention of moving there. I go to see a few sites, a few shows, and go home. Some of us come to church with no intention of ever moving there. Woo! Some of us already come before this service even started with a mind made up that it's just another Sunday night. I'm just going to get through it so I can go home and go back to being me. Well, baby, you go right on ahead. But as for me and my house, we're going to be a local. We're going to move in. We're going to become one. We're going to be one of His. We're going to get so close to Him that when people see me, they say, who is your God? You ain't from around here. It kind of made me happy Now, I'm not happy that y'all don't have the food Louisiana has. I'm still not happy about that. But it kind of made me happy in a way when he told me that I was sounding like more from here than there. Because it means I'm belonging here. And God's putting me and fitting me and molding me here. I was happy when I first got the Holy Ghost and people used to come to me and say, "What's wrong with you, man? You don't drink no more. You don't smoke no more. You don't do dope with us no more. What's the matter with you?" But see, some of us, we visit, but we're still the same all the way. I'll move on from that. They can't tell the difference. Some of us are still battling. We've come to enjoy the show. Maybe even take part a little bit. I took my family 2 years ago to Tennessee. And we went to the Comedy Barn. And lo and behold, my wife wanted to get tickets early. So she got tickets the day before the show. And so we were front row. I was middle chair. Front row. So they're doing their little deal, you know. And then up comes another part where the ventriloquist dude comes up and he's getting ready to tell a story. He has somebody come up and be the hero, somebody come up and be the villain, somebody come up and be the damsel in distress. And then he said, "Now we're going to pick somebody in the audience to be the village idiot." Don't get ahead of me. And he's standing up on the stage and he says, "So the lucky idiot, I mean the lucky person is you." And I looked at my wife and I said, "Thanks." And he looked down at me and he said, "I bet you're thanking your wife for getting tickets early, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Well, sir, here's what we want the village idiot to do." He said, "We want you to sit down on your front row." And he said, "Whenever I point at you," he said, "all I simply want you to do is stand up, turn around and go." I said, "Oh my God. You've got to be kidding me." So sure enough, here comes his little story, and he points, and I got to stand up for all them people and look like an idiot. And Maddie and Lily were just rolling laughing. They were like, "Mama, what is wrong with Daddy?" And so, we do that little number. Well, then, we go the next year, and we visit another show, and I'm on the second row this time, early tickets. I'm on the second row toward the end this time, and a comedian comes out and he's doing all this stuff, and he does a little bit where he calls somebody out of the audience. He calls them Sissy Dog. Guess who is Sissy Dog? And I told my wife, I said, "Yeah, you got it coming." And see, some of us may even do that in church. We may take part. We may go ahead and worship a little bit. We might even get on the platform and sing a little bit. We might even hold the microphone and testify a little bit. But at the end of the service, we're still going home the same way we came. And we're still leaving down. And we're still leaving depressed. It's because we didn't give him our very best. Because we were only here to see the show. As a tourist, we return from wherever we visited to the same home, same job, same school, same life, but nothing different. But the Bible says the wise men came and they worshiped him. They gave him love. They gave him adoration. They devoted their focus and their cause of being there to him. And they gave him expensive gifts. They gave of themselves something that cost a great bit. Church, we need to give him our very best. Even if it cost our time. Even if it cost our friends. Even if it cost our pride. Yes.
cost my money, even if it costs me a little something, I don't care. Whatever it takes to get into the presence of God.
They worshiped him. I'm not knocking the shepherds, but you listen to me. They worshiped him. They just didn't come and take a look, but they worshiped him and they gave something of themselves. Church, we're in the end time. God's getting ready to wipe this thing off. We're getting ready to go home. We have no time left to hold anything back. I ask you, Mount Pisgah, are you a tourist? Are you a local? I know it's different tonight, but this is what I felt God put on my heart. I want us to leave differently. Whatever the cost, whatever time I've got to spend in tears and in prayer and in money and in of time, I want to see your children, your young people, that youth group. I want them to grow into the ministry. I want them to grow into church leaders. I want them to grow into the community of Mount Pisgah that can continue to spread the gospel and continue this legacy that some of you elders have been a part of. Come on. But the only way that's going to happen is we can't teach them to be tourists. We've got to teach them. They've got to be a local. It's got to go home with them. It's got to go to school with them. It's got to go to work with them. This precious legacy that you tell us of all the time, what are we doing to continue it? I was talking with somebody the other day and they said it's sad at the rate of the way young people are walking away from the ministry. Oh God, help us. Have we portrayed this as a show? Have we portrayed this as just Sunday night and Wednesday night entertainment? I pray all the time, God, don't let me show my kids that I'm just some seasonal worshiper. But let me show my kids that I love God through the good and the bad. That I'll serve Him on rainy days just like good days. I'll show them that the church I go to is the greatest spot in our county. I'll tell them that the greatest pastor on this side of heaven is my pastor. Come on, that's making them a local. I want us to leave church. I want us to leave Sunday school. I want us to leave our youth department, our men's department, our women's department. I want everybody to leave differently. I want people to go home a different way. I want people to go home knowing that they've been in the presence of God, that it wasn't just entertainment, that it wasn't just some ritual, that it wasn't just something that mama and daddy do to seem religious, that it wasn't something to do because we were born on a Sunday afternoon. But I want them to see that this God is real. Boy, it's quiet tonight. God, help us to not be tourists. I want us to be able to say, Brother Lee, things are different in my life this year. I've prayed and fasted and God has removed the situations that I've been battling in my life. God has given me the strength to overcome those temptations. I'm stronger than I was at the beginning of this year. Another name for tourist season is called high season. You'll see that on a lot of signs down around Foley and Gulf Shores. High season means the time of year when the greatest number of people visit a place, when the prices are at their highest levels. One of my Lowe's stores that I travel to is in Foley, Alabama. which just about everybody in here would know that that's not far from Gulf Shores, a major tourist place for the summer. Right next door is Lambert's Cafe. And every time I pull out of there or pull into Lowe's, I could tell when tourist season is coming into full swing, because that parking lot begins to get full and more cars and more cars. They start parking in the back, and it peaks around the end of May. They start having to park them all over from 10:30 till they close. And that usually goes all the way on till sometime around the end of August or September, and then the crowd starts dwindling back down. But once the weather changes and the summer months begin to fade, so does the crowd. It's just not that time for the beach anymore. It's just the weather's changing. School starts in again. Vacations are pretty much dwindling down. People are running out of vacation time, so it starts to dwindle down. It's just not time for the beach anymore. The weather is getting colder, and it's just time to go back into our regular life. And hell tries to tell us those same lies. It's not the season. It's not Wednesday or Sunday. You don't have to pray today. You don't have to read the Bible today. You don't have to get involved beyond Wednesday or beyond Sunday. That's crazy. Who goes swimming in December? It's crazy. Now, I know here it really wouldn't be, but it's not routine. It's out of the ordinary. So we don't travel to that area because it's out of season. Don't change up. Don't get out of routine. Tourists aren't changed. They go back to the same. And we have a tourist season in the church. Wednesday nights and Sundays will be wall to wall. But come Monday, when all hell breaks loose, we fall apart. It's because the show's not going on. It's because the lights are not on and the music's not pumping. Lord, help me that I can pray when there's no music. Lord, help me to pray when my pastor is not asking me to. Come on, I want to be a local, not a tourist. We need to be involved all here long. John 4:19-24, Jesus is speaking to the woman of the well about the living water. They begin a discussion on where is the right place to worship, but Jesus said the time is now to worship. He said it's not limited to here nor there. It's not limited to a place. He said, but the hour has come when the true worshipers will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Basically, Jesus was saying there's no season to worship. Let me say that again. There's no season to worship. He said, because true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. He didn't say they'll worship me when all hell breaks loose. He didn't say they'll worship me when it's all rainbows and pink butterflies. He said, but the true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. What is that saying? Once they get the Holy Ghost and once spirit of truth comes into their life and once they're founded on the Word of God, they should be able to worship me at any moment. There is no season of worship. There's no tourist season on this walk with God. It should be done all the time. There's no certain way or place. If you're filled with His Spirit and walking in truth, you can have a little church wherever you are. Come on. Hello? Oh, Brother Lee, I remember the time we used to have church under a tree. I remember we sat on a little stump as the preacher would preach. Yeah, well, why can't we have church with the air conditioner on and the lights on with padded pews? Hello? Is this thing on? Come on.
If we could fight through all of that to have church, here we sit with AC and padded pews, and some of us still can't be moved. It's because we're in the tallest mentality. Come on, preacher, preach me a pumped up sermon. Come on, praise team, get me to moving. Come on, beat the drums right. Play the piano right. Oh, I can't wait to see the comedy barn. I can't wait to go to the lumberjack feud. I can't wait to go to the Smoky Mountain Park.
See, that's what's going on right now. We're waiting on another word. We're waiting on another hype moment. We're waiting on him to say, I'm getting ready to close. So people will start clapping and saying, yeah, it's time for you to get out of the way. But oh God, help us. When we could come into the house of God before the music ever starts, before the preaching ever starts, and say, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here to worship you. Oh God, I'm here to worship you. John chapter 12, 1 through 11, story of Mary anointing Jesus' feet. She walks into a house where they're dining. Everybody's just hanging around Jesus, talking, chit-chatter. I know it doesn't say that in the Bible, but obviously that's what they're doing because the Bible records no miracles going on. So everybody was comfortable with just having Jesus in the house. Everybody was comfortable with just hanging out with him at the table. And the Bible says the door opens up and in walks a little lady. And all of a sudden stares and glances and snickers. And as she makes her way down to where Jesus is. Disciples are even yelling, man, this is not protocol. This is not right. She's not supposed to be here. I mean, what is she doing? She needs to go. But see, if you would study that little lady's life, you would understand that every opportunity she could be with Jesus, she wanted to be with Jesus. Because if you would have had done to you what he had done to her, hallelujah. You would say, I can't waste another moment. I can't waste another second. I can't just sit here and be comfortable with Jesus in my presence. But I want to be interacting. I want to be involved. I want to be worshiping. I want to be worshiping. Mary said, I'm not here to be a spectator. I'm here to move something with him. And the Bible says Jesus turns to the disciples, or better known as the church folks. It says, leave her alone. Because what she's doing is going to be told about her for many generations to come. It's going to be a memorial unto her. I want to leave a memorial to God. I want God to sit in heaven and say, there's somebody that wants me involved in their life. There's somebody that wants me to be involved with them on a regular basis. Mary said, I don't have time to be a spectator. The woman with the issue of blood, same story, same situation. We could go on and on. But she didn't have time to just watch Jesus walk down the road and out of her life. Amen. She said, now is the time. 500 people watched Jesus go up into heaven. But only 120 were in the upper room. What happened to the 380? They were tourists. It's all 500 saw him. They saw the show. They saw him step up and they saw the angels come down and they saw him speak the final words and they saw him get taken up. They saw the show. Could you imagine? Can you imagine watching the Lord be taken up into heaven? And still not take his word seriously. Not spiritual eyes, not by faith, just believing something they didn't see. These people saw it physically. Saw God, Jesus, taken up into heaven, watched it all, and still, I'm not going. I don't have time for prayer meeting tonight. I don't have time for all that religious stuff. I don't have time for all that stuff he said in the Great Commission. I'm busy. I was just here for the show. I was just here to see if he was really Jesus or not. I was just here to see if he was really the Messiah or not. Just like Pastor preached this morning about throwing the pardon away. That's basically what they did, is they took their pardon and they threw it away and said, it ain't worthy to me. It's not good enough. God help me to never look at you and tell you you're not good enough. Come on, church. I know it's different tonight, and I'm not, I promise you, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I just come burdened tonight. God help us to not be these 380 that walk into Pentecost, that walk into apostolic realm of moving of the Holy Ghost and say, that's all that jazz is just ain't for me. That's just a bunch of hype. That's just a show. Those people aren't real. They're just performing. It's just an act. It's just something that we do. Matthew 27:36. Some of you elders might have heard something preached from this text, but I've never heard this. But Matthew 27:36, Jesus is hanging on the cross, and the Bible says, and sitting down, they watched him there. They sat down and they watched. We're just here for the show. We're just here to see if he's really Jesus or not. You know, he told us all that stuff about rising and destroying the temple and we'll build it again in 3 days. So here's the test. So we're just here to see if it's really going to happen. We're here to see. I mean, we're not here to get called out of the crowd. We're just here to see if he's really going to come off that cross or not. We're just here to really see. I mean, we're not here to participate. We're not here to get involved in that. Those are Roman soldiers, and I possibly could get hurt, and I possibly could, something could happen to me, and I could get in trouble. So I'm not here to take part. I'm just here to watch. I'm just here to see the show. I'm not here to make a change. I'm not here to lose friends. I'm not here to change my lifestyle. I'm just here to see the show. They just sat and watched. Yes, it was the will of God for that to happen. It was the will of God for there to be a sacrifice. So I'm not saying that they should have avoided that from happening. But what I'm saying is nobody did nothing. Nobody even tried to pull him off the cross. Nobody even tried to cross the Roman soldiers. Nobody tried to do. They just sat there and watched. No doubt some were crying. No doubt some were in agony. No doubt some's heart was breaking as they saw this man that they devoted their last 3.5 years to hanging lifelessly on a cross, just as some of us. We'll come to church. We'll even let the Lord move on us a little bit, and we'll feel the tears and we'll feel the agony, but we'll sit and we'll fight off the conviction of God because we're just here for the show. Any plans of moving in. Can I tell you, I didn't have any plans of being one of you apostolics either. Boy, I was telling myself on that back pew that first night I went to that church, I said, if I can get out of here, they'll never see me again. That man that invited me called me, he said, man, I can't get you to answer the phone. Why you don't come back to church? I said, because you people are nuts. Y'all are crazy. I had no intentions of becoming one of you. But God had other plans. And when I finally gave of myself
and I finally worshiped Him, and I finally devoted myself to Him, God said, now you're one of mine. Now you're a local. Now I can work in your life. Now I can bless you. Now I can change your lifestyle. Now I can give you peace. Now I can give you joy. Now I can give you hope. Now I can give you a good wife. Now I can give you 3 beautiful kids. Now I can use you in the ministry. Now I can use you.
We do enough just to say we were there. We were at the cross. We were at the ascension. But we did nothing. Just like the shepherds. Oh, we went. I showed up. I'm here. They can't talk about me and say I'm backslidden. I'm here. I might even go to the altar. But nothing changes. We did just enough to say we were there. Let's stand. I'm getting ready to close. The shepherds, listen to this. This blew my mind. The shepherds had angels appear to them. They had church in the field. They had a heavenly host in their midst. All the wise men had was a star. Let me say that one more time. The wise men had a visitation of angelic beings, physically seen. All the wise men had was a star. And with all of that heavenly visitation and all of that church and all of that glory in that field, they still only saw and watched. But the wise men, all they had was a star. Just a star. And they looked at that star and they said, He's here! He's here! He's born! The Savior's here! Where is He? Where is He? We gotta find Him! Where is He? It doesn't matter what atmosphere you're in. It doesn't matter what's moving or what's not. It doesn't matter if there's a heavenly host or just a star. It's what you do with it. Are you here for the show? Or are you here saying, I don't care if we ever make it past the first song, if all I've got is this little star, if all I've got is just this little bit, God, we're coming to You. God, I'm coming to You. Lord, I've got some precious gifts. Lord, I've got some worship. Lord, I don't need an angelic visitation. Lord, I don't need a big church choir. Lord, I don't need Wayne Huntley. All I need is just a little glimmer of You calling me, and I'm on my way. Are you a tourist? Are you a local? Are you here to see God move and put on a show in other folks' lives? Or are you here to say, I want to be part of the family. I want to be in God's grace. I want to be in God's favor. I want to see God do the miraculous. I want to see God. Come on, that's it. Somebody needs to go ahead and just begin to cry out in God and say, God, I want to move in. God, show me some real estate. God, give me some property. God, give me a place, because I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to move in and become a local here. Come on, there's an opportunity for you tonight to become part of the family. As the Holy Ghost was moving in that upper room, people began to gather around, and Peter began to preach to them about this Jesus that's moving. And they said, well, what do you do?
And he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You will become a local. Come on, I want to lead my family. I want my family to show up and say, are you a local in that church? Are you a local in worship? Are you a local in prayer? I need you to pray for me. Are you a local? You know how to get a hold of this God that you serve. Come on, apostolics. We need to put the cameras away. We need to put everything aside tonight and say, I'm not here for the show. I'm not here for the attractions. I'm not here for the monuments. I'm here to see Jesus. Come on. Come on, some of us need a move of the Holy Ghost in our lives tonight like we've never had. Come on, we need to break free of this tourist mentality. We need to break free of this and say, Lord, I want to be a part. I want to be a part. I want to be a joint to you, God. Come on, would you lift your hands? Would you lift your hearts? Would you open up your mouths tonight and begin to love Him? Come on, church. God wants to visit us right now. God wants to move on us right now. Would you allow Him to? Hallelujah. Would you put the maps away? Would you put the cameras away? Oh, so I'm not here to just view the views, but I'm here to be intimate with you tonight. God, help me to move. God, help me to move. Free me up, Lord. Let me move to where I want to be.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take.
Hallelujah. Come on, that's it, church. Come on, let's cry out to Jesus tonight. Come on, let's cry out to Jesus. God, I'm giving you of myself. I'm giving you my precious gifts. I'm giving you my worship. I'm giving you of myself. God, I don't need to change. I don't need to change.
Every breath that I take. Moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, my worship.
Jesus.
Oh, my praise.
Jesus.
I give my all.
Come on, would you do that tonight? Would you give Him your all tonight? Come on, everything out on the altar tonight. Would you just pour yourself out to God tonight? Come on, just like the night you received the Holy Ghost. Come on, you left everything on the table. You said, here I am, God. Come on, let Him have it again tonight. Let Him change your life tonight.
I give my all. I give my all. Where I hide.
Hallelujah. Come on, there ought to be a spirit of worship in us right now. Come on, if we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we ought to be speaking in that heavenly language right now. We ought to be glorifying God right now. Let it flow from your lips.
My worship, all my praise, I give my all, I give my all.
One more time, can we just put our hands in the air and just love the Lord for just a moment? Come on, I believe the Holy Ghost is still moving in this house right now. I believe the Holy Ghost is still ministering to someone right now. Come on, throughout this week into our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you, we pray.